All right, all right. Well, as Trevor already said, welcome. We're glad you're here. For those that are in the building, you made it. Well done. For those that are watching at home, you made it. Well done. Push pause if you're watching at home. Go get a blank sheet of paper and a pencil. Go ahead, push pause. We're not going to wait for them because they'll come back and then they'll push play. All right, we're going to start church service slightly different today, not because there's less in here, but because we're going to do something different. Everybody should have got a piece of paper when they walked in. If you did not get a piece of paper, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Please stand up. You did not get a piece of paper? You did? Anybody not? Oh, there we go. Jason's got us coming around. Perfect. Here's what we're going to do this morning. We are going to start with this. You should have pencils or pens in the seat pocket in front of you. A lot of you have been writing Christmas cards, so you're already in the habit of writing things. That's fantastic. This morning, we're going to write thank you notes, all right? Don't overthink this. There's two opportunities for thank you notes on this sheet of paper. The first one is for somebody you know. Write a thank you note to somebody for whatever, okay? Like if I had my pen right here, I would write Todd, dear Todd. Thank you for shoveling the sidewalk before anybody else got to church this morning. There was three or four of us came ready with our gloves and shovels, but you already did it. You're awesome, James. See how easy that was? Was that written down? No. Okay, so don't overthink this, all right? As soon as you're done with that, go on to the next one. It says, dear God, thank you for. Now, you can thank God for whatever you want, for whatever you think he needs to be thanked for. Does this make sense? Don't overthink it. I'm going to give you 7 minutes, 37 seconds to write these, okay? You think I'm kidding? No, I got my stopwatch ready, okay? And we're going to have some quiet music playing in the background. Thank you notes, ready, set, go. Debbie tells me the clock now says 7 minutes and 37 seconds. So thank you for participating. Hopefully that was not too hard of a what is that called? Exercise. Thank you. I try to stay away from that. If you were not here with us this last week, you may not have known that Pastor Trevor and I are co-teaching this Advent series. So we're 3 weeks in. No, we're let's just agree that today is going to be a little bit fun, all right? That's great. It's a three-week series. This is week number two. I'd like to read a quote from the book Help Thanks Wow, which is where we kind of are basing this Advent series out of. Did I get the right page? I didn't. Hold on. Here we go. All right. A lot of us religious types go around saying thank you to God when we find a good parking space or locate the house keys or the wandering phone or finally get a good night's sleep. And while that may be annoying to some people around us, it's important because if we are lucky, gratitude becomes a habit. If we are lucky, gratitude becomes a habit. Now, I told you several weeks ago, I'm an introverted contemplative, which means when I found a journal called the Monk Manual, I knew it was for me, all right? Every day, I kid you not, you can vouch for this, we got three things, like three priorities. It's got a to-do list, and then it says, I am grateful for, and it's got three blanks. One, two, three. So every morning, I have to think of three things to be thankful for. Some mornings, that's easy. Other mornings, not so much. All right? I am doing all I can to make thanks a habit. Even if it takes a book. Doing all I can to make thanks a habit.
Yeah, so if you couldn't join us last Sunday, like James said, we began this Advent series on prayer titled Help Thanks Wow, based off of Anne Lamott's book, Chase, taking those three simple prayers and looking at the Advent story through the lens of those prayers, which last week we talked about the first one, help. And there were two that we kind of highlighted in there, two different types of help prayers, more of the simpler prayers of help, right? Like asking God to be with us while we travel or finding a parking space, right? But even the more heartfelt desperation prayers, where we cry out to God when we're at the end of ourselves. And so we're continuing our series today by talking and already practicing some thank you prayers. But one thing that really stuck out to us this time around in looking at the Advent stories is the kind of the melding of the sacred and the simple. So with that, let me pray, and then we can start our time together. God, we thank you for spaces like we had this morning, small exercises to practice thankfulness. Thankfulness for our peers, thankfulness for what you are doing through them, but also thankfulness for what you're doing directly with us, God, the ways that you are healing our hearts and growing us and helping shape us in the way that we need to be. And so as we look at our time today and thinking a little more deep about this topic of thank you and how that affects our prayer life, may that gratitude piece be on our hearts and on our minds. In your name, God. Amen.
All right, so hopefully like you guys are doing, we're reading the Advent story several times a week. It's found in Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2. And as Trevor said, we're really seeing a melding of sacred and simple this week. Sacred and simple thanks. Now, in the stories, we don't necessarily see the characters stopping to write thank you notes. So this morning's going to be, ooh, what if they prayed like, or I wonder if they did. But there really is a melding of this. So simple, right? Similar to last week's simple help, the simple thanks is for any everyday type of thanks, such as thank you for the meal. A lot of us pray before our food. Thank you for the snow, if you like it. Thank you for snow plows, who I remembered to call and had somebody text me thank you to remind me. Thank you for Zoom, that we can talk to relatives across the country during the holiday season. Thank you for mittens and scarves. Thank you that my kids slept through the night last night.
I've yet to pray that prayer.
My kid's 17. He sleeps through the night every night.
4 a.m. 4 a.m. comes early.
Simple thanks, okay? Like, if you just picture the early story in the Advent of Elizabeth and Zechariah in the temple. All right, I think a lot of us know it. It's in Luke chapter 1, or it's in here. Okay, so Zechariah goes in, he's serving his duty in the temple. Angel Gabriel comes down and he says, hey, you and your wife are going to have a baby. And Zechariah kind of like, how can this happen? I'm old. And the angel says, well, because you didn't believe me, you're not going to be able to talk for 10 months, excuse me. I know how it works. 10 months. So Zechariah comes out of the temple. And after the chaos of, you know, what happened, I wonder if Elizabeth prayed a simple prayer. Yahweh, thank you for shutting his mouth. He hasn't let me get a word in edgewise for 70 years. See? Simple, right? A simple thanks.
There's also the sacred aspect of this part of the story. Zechariah going mute wasn't simply just a divine timeout, right? But an opportunity for him to connect with God in a different way. You know, I think it's important for us to remember for priests to learn to listen when God speaks. And that was especially important for the time because they were the mouthpiece, right? And so this is why even later into the history of the church, there are people called ascetics who would go out into the desert and then they would live in a cave so that they could have the silence and solitude they needed to hear from God, to connect with God. And so I have to imagine that the people in Zechariah's life, they were able to share things with him, wisdom with him that maybe they wouldn't normally have been able to. Maybe he would have listened to his wife more or the people in his care more. So as we get deeper into the Advent story, there's a few different veins here where we see these simple and sacred thanks. And the next one of these is in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 24, which begins here. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, firstly, we see kind of this simple and sacred thanks in Jesus being presented here at the temple. These are the normal rhythms for the spiritual community in this small section of four verses. You know, to begin with, there's the circumcision that takes place at the intended time, 8 days after the birth. One thing that James and I had wondered about was why they waited so long to actually name him if they knew what they were supposed to name him.
Says they waited 8 days.
Yeah, eight whole days to name your kiddo. I don't know. The thing that we really settled on is that with all of the ceremony kind of taking place at that 8 days, maybe they just waited and just enjoyed their time and just soaked all that in with him until all of the big stuff happened at once. At any rate, they name him, he's circumcised, and then they take part in the purification ceremony, which is more for Mary, where she gets to be invited back into the spiritual community after delivering a child. This was something that in the Hebrew community, it made you unclean, and so you had to generally offer a sacrifice of one lamb, but they were in financial straits here. And so instead, according to the law, they were able to offer two turtle doves or two pigeons, and they are then presenting Jesus as their firstborn to be dedicated. And all of this was a practice to thank God, to bring God their best in response to all the good things that they were being blessed with. And maybe we would have seen Mary and Joseph thanking God for a healthy delivery where mom and baby were recovering okay. Maybe they were thanking God for everything that this child would do in the name of God and the legacy that their family now had. But let's step back even further. Let's take a step back into all the way into, what, chapter 1?
Right back in chapter 2.
Right back to chapter 2. Well, here we are. That's how today's going. And just look at that simple and sacred for Jesus and see some people who learned about him in a kind of an alarming manner.
Yeah. So if you don't have a Bible open, it's Luke chapter 2. We're spending most of our time there. We're going to be telling the stories. You can just listen. As you can tell, this is it kind of laid back is what we're going for. So the simple and sacred thanks that could be offered. As I read the story of the shepherds, be thinking about what the simple thanks may be and the sacred thanks. The shepherds, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 12. That night, there were shepherds staying awake in the fields nearby, guarding their sheep and flocks. By night, their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel assured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news, and that will be great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will know him, you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." And verse 13 says, "Suddenly and the angel was joined by a vast host of other angels, armies of heaven, praising God," right? Saying glory to God in the highest. And we hear this story every year. There is simple things to say thanks in there for, and there are sacred things for sure. I imagine at some point the shepherds were thankful at how simple God made it, right? We've heard the acronym KISS. Keep it simple. No, it's keep it simple, shepherds. You're not supposed to. Keep it simple, shepherds. You've never heard that? Well, from here on out, that's what it is. Keep it simple, shepherds, right? God, the shepherds could not miss the angel's arrival because it was dark one moment. It was not the next, right? The shepherds could not go to the wrong town because the angels told them where to go. It's in Bethlehem. Now, the shepherds, I don't know how many babies were born in Bethlehem that night. I don't know. But they were very specific about what Jesus would be wearing and where he would be laid. All right? So keep it simple, shepherds. Go to town, figure out, like, if you go and you say, "Hey, did you guys have a baby today?" "Yeah. What's he wearing?" "Oh, the standard, you know, hospital blanket with the pink and the blue stripe on it." "Okay, not him. Thanks. Sorry to wake you up." You know, keep going. Keep it simple. I imagine the shepherds probably a few times were like, "Wow, God, thank you that you made it to where we couldn't mess this up." All right? There's also the sacred in there. The fact that angels show up. Now, angels themselves show up quite a few times in Scripture. I looked back, and it's, you know, you got Jacob who's returning to see his brother, and he leaves his uncle Laban, and he starts walking back, and angels show up, and he's like, wow, surely this is God's camp. That's Genesis 32. There's all sorts of other times angels show up, but how many times do a vast host of angels, an army of angels, show up? If you can find a time other than this where a vast host of an army of angels shows up and then sings to the people they show up to, let me know, okay? I couldn't find it, but that doesn't mean it's not in here. So there's got to be something big, something profound, something holy in that. Now, you also look at what the angels were declaring. There was going to be a Savior, a Messiah. There was going to be peace on earth. These are things that are sacred. So I imagine as the shepherds, after they had gone into town, which verse 15 and 16 said they did, when they went back to their fields and the light had been switched back to dark, I imagine they thanked God for the simpleness of how they could go find Jesus, but also for the sacredness of what this story was the beginning of. Thank you for making it easy. Thank you for going holy. Now, so we're going to rewind the story even more, behind the dedication, beyond the shepherds, to a couple of people who reacted to this miraculous pregnancy in song, and the first being Mary.
Yeah, Mary. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 46, it says, Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful, for he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." So in Luke 1, we see the sacred and simple thanks in the form of a song. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and what's called the Magnificat, draws from the song of Hannah, from 1 Samuel 1 and 2, after the birth of Samuel, and she uses these allusions to offer thanks and to state the things that God has done and will do through her and her son. She recognizes that she's ordinary, but is thankful for the gift of being the Messiah's mother, and this was a hope for every Jewish woman leading up to this point through the history of Israel, that they would get to be the mother of the Messiah. But with it, there was so much that would be done, and so much hope that came with it. You know, there would be a liberation from earthly powers. There would be a care for physical needs, a growth in character for the people of God, too. And so I think this is something that we can understand and thank God for as well. Firstly, in the realm of thanking God for working through us. And for the sacred things, I mean, which for me came last Sunday exactly, marked 6 years of doing this work, of being a pastor. And so I thank God for the work that he's called me to, and for the sacred things that I get to talk about and teach and hear about when I walk with others. But besides this, I can also thank God for things like having food to feed my family, or doing things in the lives of my friends that I get to witness, or just working through our church. And there's more than that. But that's not the only song that takes place here in Luke 1, where we see this simple and sacred thanks. Let's jump down to verse 67 and hear from Zechariah.
So Tim is actually going to sing Zechariah's song. Thank you for not doing that, Tim. And you can thank me later for not singing Zechariah's song, too. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to ask the question, where's the simple in here? You guys just shout out one example. And where is the sacred in here? And you'll shout out one example. And we'll see if we can all come up with the same ones. Zechariah's prophecy was this: "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies, so we can serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. And then he said to little Johnny, John the Baptist, and you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. All right. Simple thanks. What could have been simple thanks in here? Got his voice back. Woo! I didn't even think of that. Well done. He got his voice back. Anybody else? Kind of tough, because normally we see the sacred in here. Where's the sacred in here? Holiness and righteousness. Yep. It's a quiet group this morning. You guys are still winded from shoveling your sidewalks, aren't you? Okay, well, we tried. The sacred and the simple. The simple in here, as I was going through it, I saw something simple like redemption through a specific family line. I mean, to be able to say, hey, you know, so-and-so three blocks down, it was his dad's dad, whose dad's dad, whose dad's dad. There's something simple about that. And we can say thanks for that. I imagine they might have. He was saying thanks for being saved from the enemies. Anybody here like to be picked on? No. So when you're not, thank you, God, that they went down a different hall instead of the hall that I was in, right? You can say thank you for answered promises, which we're going to come back to in a little bit. Now, there is so much in here. It's much easier for us to see the sacred. I mean, it says, thank you, praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he visited and redeemed his people. God showing up, that's sacred. There's something sacred about that we say thanks for. Redemption, that's sacred. A savior, that's sacred. Remembering a covenant. Serving God without fear in holiness and righteousness for as long as they can live. I think it's easy for us to find the sacred because that's so often what's pointed out. But let's not forget that there are simple things in here that we can emulate as well. So we kind of started at the dedication. We went back. Let's fast forward to the dedication again and see some sacred and simple things from a couple other people who showed up at the dedication.
Yes. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 says, at that time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there, and he took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. So what we hear about in the songs of Mary and Zechariah, we also see confirmed in the prophecy of Simeon. He was a devout man. He was told by God he wouldn't die until he had seen the Messiah. And the moment that he's at the temple and sees this baby, he knows. He knows and thanks God immediately that he did what he said he would do. And that's such a huge testament to the promises that God gives and delivers on. And that's something that I've been focusing on quite a bit this year, a small peek into my life and my family, is that Backofeners don't have very good kidneys. My dad and my brother have both struggled with chronic kidney stones, and I am determined not to join that club. However, in talks with my doctor this year, he shared with me that I have low kidney function. And so my homework was to drink a certain amount of water every day and to keep track of my progress, so I made sure. And I'd been doing that for a while, but it came about because of my Saturday morning small group that I'm in, that I was challenged to think about the promises of God every time I take a drink of water. And so this has been a pretty cathartic practice for me, one that I'm able to several times a day thank God for the good things that he's done, that he is doing, and the things that he promised he would do. And as we continue the story here, Simeon isn't the only one who prophesied and saw God's promises come to fruition. Check out the next verses there, down to 36, in talking about Anna.
All right, well, without looking at your Bible, who are we talking about? Anna, good job. That means you were listening. Anna, Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 38. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. I like that line. Her husband died when she had been married for only 7 years, and she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Simple thanks that she could have. She was old, okay? Without thinking about it, with the raise your hand if you're old. Older, I mean, tomorrow you'll be one day older, right? Lori, you'll be one day older tomorrow? Call her and wish her a happy birthday tomorrow. Okay, so it says that Anna was old. My text, it says she lived as a widow until she was 84 years old. Other texts say she lived as a widow for 84 years. Now, if that's what your text says, let's do the math. Let's pretend she was married at 13, lived for 7 years as a married person, husband dies at age 20, widowed for 84 years. How old is she? 104. That's old. Okay? I imagine every morning she woke up and said, "Thank you, God, that I woke up." Simple thanks. Right? In the story, now we could also, it says that she stayed in the temple day and night fasting and praying. Well, at some point over those 84 years, she had to have eaten something, and she probably thanked God for some of the food that people brought to the temple. I mean, I imagine if Merle was coming to the temple for a sacrifice and he knew that Anna was there, he would probably pack a little extra so that she could have some. Right, so she probably went to bed at night thanking God for the ways that he provided for her as she prayed and fasted in the temple. All right, that's the simple thanks in there. Now, the sacred thanks, what did it say she did or she was?
A prophet.
Now, if you didn't know, prophets were pretty important in the time of the Israelites. Still important today. She prayed and fasted too, yes, which is also holy. Prophets, Amos chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything until he reveals his plans to his servants, the prophets." And what were those plans? I mean, we're hearing that. This is the story of the Advent. And this is part of what made what Anna talked about so powerful. At the end of verse 38, it says, "She talked to everybody about the child, about how cute the child was." No. A baby probably was cute, because most babies are. She talked to everyone who would listen about the child if they had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. And that's the story of the Israelite people. It's the story of waiting for God to rescue them. And can you imagine her prayer that night? After the "thanks for letting me wake up, thanks for the food that Merle brought that I could eat today, thank you that you have begun the work that you have been promising for years and years and years and years. And thank you that I get to be a part of telling that story." See, simple and sacred thanks. They may not be writing thank you notes in here, but it's there. And in a very real sense, what we've seen in each of these stories, whether it's Anna or Simeon or the shepherds or Zechariah or Mary, just about, you can go back and reread it, just about every single one of them is thanking God for things he already promised to do. So they're thanking him for doing the things he's promised to do. How often do we do that? I've been thinking about that this week. How often do we thank God for the things he has promised to do that he's done? God, thank you for never leaving me or forsaking me. You know, God, thank you that you promised to provide. God, thank you for, how often do we stop and thank God for the things he's promised to do? Should it require a fancy monk manual with 3 blank lines for us to make gratitude a habit? It shouldn't. But if you need that, it's a great journal. What can we do to make gratitude a habit? Much like we did at the end of last service, we're going to finish this service with a time of response and prayer. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. We're going to give you guys a time to pray inwardly, quietly. Pray prayers of thanksgiving, of thankfulness to God. If they're simple prayers, fantastic. If they're sacred thanks, fantastic. If you want to just read the thank you note that you wrote to God in the inside of your heart, fantastic. If you are drawing a blank as to what to thank God for, on the back of your thankful notes, thank you notes, is a prayer from a book titled Gorillas of Grace that is a prayer all about thanking the Lord. Perhaps you can pray that today, or if not today, tomorrow or the next day. Just an opportunity. As I shared with you last week, I've been praying the prayers of other people. This is one of those prayers of thank you that I was praying this week. So we're going to do this for a few minutes. We're going to just thank God, and then we will wrap up in a song. Let me pray, and then we'll continue that time in prayer. Lord God, thank you. I don't know if we say this enough, but thank you for who you are, for what you've done, for what this story that we are learning about this Advent season is all about, and not just your coming, but your the beginning of what this was an answer to. Lord, we want to be people who have grateful hearts. Yes, for things like parking spots and overnight sleeps of babies, but also for things like your redemption, your passionate pursuit. Lord, as we spend some time now praying prayers of thank you, hear them, and may they bring a smile to your face.